Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism? To end neocolonialism? To end racism? To end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means
welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight here, August 22nd, 2018, here at 6 p.m. This podcast was scheduled for earlier today, but due to technical issues, okay, we had to delay it. So anyway, this is what we're doing, and tonight's subject is Black Economics and Self-Help. We're discussing tonight how Black economics could alleviate homelessness within the melanated community. And we're asking those of you to please give us a call here at area code 646-564-9630 with your comments, questions, ideas, and concerns about this serious issue. And then also, too, how can Black economics solve this issue for our people? And also, too, we have another question, is that how can so much revenue be generated in a certain region and homelessness is at a high rate in the same region? And also, too, we wanted to discuss tonight, you know, the effect of gentrification in this situation. Okay, I see we got a caller here from area code 443 with the last 42595. Okay, thank you for calling. You're on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, coming to you from the San Joaquin Valley in San Joaquin County, California. And what's your name and where are you calling from and what's on your mind?
What's up, brother? It's me, your future commentator, brother Isaiah.
Hey, brother Isaiah, it's always a pleasure to have you, you know, on here on Shabaka's Black Experience, and we definitely appreciate your input. Now, as I've stated earlier in the post that I've made, is that here when you look at Silicon Valley, which is a trillion-dollar organization mm-hmm. that goes from San Francisco to San Jose, then back up on the east side of the Bay, clear back up to Oakland, California. You have the headquarters of these major social media firms, Twitter, Pandora, Ask.com, and then less than 3 miles, and in addition to across the street from Twitter, you their headquarters in San Francisco, you could witness some of the most degrading situations in regard to homelessness and people living in tents on the street. So therefore, how can we as a people, through homeschooling, also through cooperative economics, alleviate this problem? Now, what we mean by that is that we need some innovation here, you know, in regard to microeconomics, which is the economics of the firm, meaning of running businesses and what have you, developing businesses, getting a little bit innovative. And macroeconomics is the study of is the industry and the gross national product and the economy as a whole. So therefore, we've got to get our young people and the generations after us and currently to understanding that recycling revenue would only enhance our own capital resources for development. You see, now this is why we got to have some banks and some financial institutions so therefore that they could acquire, you know, some type of locations, you know, to house the people temporarily, you know, take assessments on them, about what their mental state is because from what you see, you know, on a great basis right here, people are out here, you know, unclean, unsanitary, living outside. And then what happens is then they start having mental issues, you see, you know, due to this situation and what have you. But then you have those that do have, particularly with the social media money that you see going through the Bay Area, and there's a great disparity right there. You see what I mean? It's a very, very great disparity that's going on. So therefore, it's up to these, you know, elected officials and then also to these prominent so-called black leaders that have to address this issue and be held accountable for, you know, allowing this situation here to happen. It's because when they look at these other groups of people who are coming here and who are prospering, as you know, they're setting up all these small mom-and-pop stores within the melanated black community. Also, too, ladies and gentlemen, we want to give a shout-out there to all the RBGs in the Pacific Northwest. Also, too, to Black I Stand Radio, to New Black Knowledge Radio, Do the Knowledge Radio, whatnot, and we appreciate them trying to get the idea of merging these platforms together and getting our narrative out for us to become self-sufficient is because it's truly is that economics is the key. It's because we cannot have no economical power without educational power, and then economical power will give us the political power. And currently what's going on now with the Trump regime of how they're crumbling within, so that's great news and what have you. But then again, at the same token, it also got to show what we must do for ourselves is because he's crumbling from within. And then, of course, you know, you had a lot of these, how should I say, individuals with cognitive dissonance who goes up here and supports this individual. And quite naturally, of course, you're seeing where the chips are falling, you know, like where a couple of his cronies, I believe, got one up the river, one is facing 80 years, and another one is implicated Trump and, you know, some uncanny, unscrupulous, you know, type of stuff. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, our show is for general audiences tonight. So we're asking, you know, to maintain, you know, a situation, you know, on watching our language and what have you. But we cannot say it does not get heated here at Shabaka's Black Experiences because we deal with the black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. Now, also, too, Brother Isaiah, that I have you right here that we'll start the discussion with, is looking at all this high technology that's going on over here in Silicon Valley. We got to have our youth, you know, started getting geared, you know, to mastering in this industry. Because as I see over here, is that these other groups of people who come here, or these foreigners, as they call them, They're about the cooperative economics within themselves. And then also, too, as it was stated over there in the Bay Area more than 50 years ago, was one of the things is that we believe in an educational system that will give our people a knowledge of self. If a man does not have knowledge of himself and his position in society and the world, then he has little chance to relate to anything else. Now, with the high level of homelessness that you see here, that I see here in Northern California, see, you know, definitely has to raise some eyebrows in regarding into this situation right here. It's because through the educational infrastructure, you know, we're being substandard and countermanded to our progress and what have you. We simply have to implement and develop, you know, procedures for our own. And also, too, it was stated that we want decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. Now, why can they not take some of these abandoned buildings that are sitting there unoccupied, refurbish them a little bit, you know, and give homeless people temporary housing, say anywhere from 1 week to 30 days, where they can get reoriented and have a location to regroup amongst themselves and come up with some type of implementation, you know, to alleviate the problem of homelessness. And then in addition to, we have to have educational programs and developmental programs, you know, to countermand this.
That's right.
Yeah, you see, so that's what we have to have, you know, on that. And then in addition to,
through our national resources too, also. We gotta, like I said, on the last show, like that, we have to save up, like we gotta do better, like we gotta buy our
accumulate the wealth. Try to accumulate some type of initial investment, you know, through cooperative economics, you know, to start investing off into some real estate, is because as a universal economical principle, you have four factors of production, which is land, labor, capital, and risk management. And in addition to, one of the elements of risk management is innovation. Somebody with an idea, somebody with the vision, you see, to make this particular project work. You see, the majority of your businesses, you know, have started this way. And then also, too, we need to place more emphasis on trading for ourselves, amongst ourselves, like we had prior to integration, in which we were forced to do so. But then again, you saw what happened with the Black Wall Street. You saw what happened with Rosewood, Florida, you know, about 100 years ago, you see, close to 100 years ago, where they had totally had burned down, you know, the black economic and commercial infrastructures of a couple of towns. Tulsa, Oklahoma was one of them. Now, also, too, in addition with this current political climate that you got going on, it is up to us to take care of ourselves, is because, you see, we have to face it, folks, is that we are in a state of emergency right here, economically, culturally, morally, and also on a family basis as well, too. So we're asking our callers to please give us a call at area code 646-564-9630. Call in here to Shabaka's Black Expansion Hands. I'm the host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankara. Our producers, the one and only, and our co-host, the one and only Mad Dr. D, and our associate producer is Demacy Love. So as we're progressing right here, as we are looking at, you know, what's going on here currently and politically, they say this here should be giving us the more reason for us to quit and to ease and alleviate this division that we have amongst ourselves within the melanated communities. It's because all we have is each other to progress and to come up out of this. And then, as some of our elders has told us,
I've been saying that for years.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I've been saying that for years, that we gotta come together, like each one teach one, and just one piece, one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, most likely each one, teach one.
Yeah, we are basically, and we are family, so we just need to come together at a time of need.
Oh, yes, sir.
Like on the other shit is going on right now. Sure.
Yes, sir.
Look on, Trump dump machine is ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, not only is it ridiculous, but it's crumbling from within, you see. Yeah. So, you know, as it crumbles, quite naturally, of course, it's going to get more difficult for us. And we have to simply be prepared for that situation right there. Now, on the educational situation on that, as we all know, is that these various school districts, school boards, state rules and regulations are forcing certain agendas.
Right. The school board don't care nothing about our children, needs and stuff. They don't have their own sources. That's why I'm been looking like it's time for homeschool our kids now, because I've been seeing a video of a couple of drag queens and all that stuff. Trying to teach young males to be feminized and all that bullshit.
Right.
I've been looking like, what the hell?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Everything is accepted by this. Everything is really. This is how we live right now. Everything's being accepted, and then being accepted, like what? Sure, that's what I said. Time to go home. Because no way in the world.
Without a doubt.
If I send my child up there, hell no.
Yeah, exactly. It says because the various states, are forcing this curricular, on our children, and it's to divert them, to becoming self-sufficient. That's the bottom line of it, is because you see, when you look at all these other groups that's setting up commerce here in the black community, you could best believe is that they, are enhancing themselves, their families, their communities, their in-laws and whatnot. But however, is that this society looks at us as a bunch of racists when we attempt, to do for self.
To do the right
and
thing.
Then
the right thing. Yeah.
Every
time we try and speak our minds and we try and do the right thing, we label as racist, as some minorities and all that BS. Like, come on now. They just want to
hear
the truth. That's all that is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, you see. And then on top of it as well, too, is that our dumbing down benefits other groups, you see. It's because, as they say, is that a house divided within cannot stand. And the current situation of the black family unit, definitely proves that. See, it's because, you don't have the black male in the household as well as he should be. And then in addition to, about how they emphasize, the degradation, of the black male, with the police situation, going on. With that, then not to mention the fact, of how, they keep our students and our young people, ignorant of themselves and of their history.
Telling all these white fairy tales to our kids and stuff, but telling them all them lies about our.
Yeah.
Tell us about our our history and all that, telling that
absolutely,
we were only slaves. Tell that that's okay. And your people was the only slaves.
Right.
They was just marching for civil rights, and that's it.
A lot of our people, you see, you know, lack knowledge. You see what I mean? But you have to keep in mind that a lot of knowledge and a lot of the true history has been manipulated, you know, in the records, you know, have been downright omitted. And, you know, and currently, you know, all these so-called media agencies, mainstream media and what have you, see, all this is just sensationalism and bullshit, you know, to keep the people's minds of what's really going on. And then in addition to with the National Football League putting in these rules and regulations about that the players got to dance for the national anthem, you know, no bad how they feel. But at the same token, though, the National Football League is ignoring, you know, the very problem of why these protests had begun in the NFL with Kaepernick back in 2016, you know, out there in San Francisco when he was with the 49ers. And then also, too, we have to emphasize, you know, education on ourselves, you know, for on high technology, the sciences, also to studying environmental sciences as well, too, because with all these genetically modified organisms that you got going off in the food chain and what have you, we have to develop methods, you know, to countermand that, you see. So once again, this is why the educational infrastructure is so important, you know, to develop innovation, to develop ideas, you know, to have our youth do all that they can to give us the commercial power that we need so we can start becoming more producers and quit becoming consumers. Because as we are consumers, see, every other damn group is benefiting, you know, off of us with our own money.
That's right.
Seriously. Okay, and then, of course, you know, this social engineering that they got going on through social media and through that cesspool out of Southern California called Los Angeles with Hollywood and this bullshit. You see what I mean? These dumbass movies that they produce of us and this negative-ass image that they want to project of us. The same thing going on here with social media. Then you got these sellouts. And then you got
all
these house Negroes.
Exactly.
Like, it's crazy. Oh, yeah. And they kind of, man, you know, our progress as a people. Yes, sir.
Right.
And then what happens is that you get this internalized hatred and self-hatred and frustration when we start taking it out on each other and start becoming destructive of each other. Rutherford's there in Baltimore, down there in Los Angeles, Chicago, Oakland, California, Kansas City.
We need to stop facing each other and face the real bad guy that's, you know.
Right.
I'm not going to say the name, but
well, okay, you see, so this is where a sense of cohesiveness would come in with that. It's because, see, we're the main ones here who have a severe lack of cohesiveness, you see. Now, 40 or 50 years ago, we were more cohesive, but now, man, is damn near practically and then possibility. And then, of course, too, is that of how this society with this Eurocentric Kool-Aid even has our own so-called prominent figures, prominent leaders and what have you. Endorsing you know, in this same insane counterculture, and perpetuating this bullshit. And the NFL situation is a classic example of it. Now here, you know, the black players make up 70% of the personnel in the National Football League, and then they got an issue, you know, that they're concerned about, but the National Football League refuses, you know, to pay attention or give any recognition of the protest in the first place. So automatically, right there, where a lot of these white sponsors of the NFL, you see, are saying is that they might pull away some of their endorsements is because the players are not standing for the flag. Well, let's have the players not only not stand for the flag, not even show up for the damn game.
Exactly. I'm about to say that too, brother. Like, how about this not only show up to the whole preseason, season, Super Bowl? Who cares? Who cares about all that?
Exactly. You know, for real. And don't show up at none of it. You see? And that effect will be felt is because what will happen is that a lot of those big-time conglomerate sponsors will refuse, you know, to sponsor the NFL unless they have a captive audience in there. And then the chain reaction that could be caused if the players don't even suit up for the games and play the games, those seats in those stadiums will not be filled. So therefore, the NFL will lose revenue on that, and then once the sponsor sees that they're not filling the seats, then they'll pull their sponsorship. So already right there, you know, through the concept of macroeconomics and microeconomics, you pretty much, you know, have been effective right there because, you see, look at it in the same spirit of the Montgomery bus boycott that you had in 1955, where, you know, black people did not ride the bus and the Montgomery bus company would damn near went bankrupt. So theoretically, the same thing would happen with the National Football League as well, too. But then again, through, you know, everybody pursuing their own self-interest, due to the lack of cohesiveness, you know, within the black community, this here helps the concept of self-help. And then also, too, just take away economical factors in which we need to implement to get our people about this situation with this homelessness. Right. Because particularly what I'm seeing out here in California, in the Bay Area, man, the, you know,
I'm tired of seeing them too, bro. Every time when I go out, I see some guy or a female home holding up their sign saying, food, and they need some homeless. I need some food, need some change, and all that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I'm tired of seeing them out there.
Just lost. You see what I'm saying? So therefore, what happens right there? You know, the person, you know, start having bad feeling amongst themselves. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite natural for us. That's a bad situation to be in, and then it just keeps getting perpetuated again and again and again and again, and then. What starts happening is and then the society, you know, starts losing, you know, regard for us as well, too. So then this is where you start having a high crime. This is where you start having various other social ills, you know, in a community, you know, going in and out of jail, you know, alcoholism, you know, drug addictions, you know, things of this nature right here. And then, you know, this stuff here is set up this way, you know, through these socially engineered projects that they got going on, particularly here with the social media. And then if you notice that in the last couple of months that they have been making all these changes in regard to their algorithms about how you can access information on here, about how pretty much is that they want, you know, all your personal information. You see, so, you know, we got to get our, so therefore we got to get our people you know, have them more aware of this, you know, to protect ourselves against this is because, let's be real about something, these other groups of people don't have our interests at heart.
Exactly.
And really, there's no reason why they should. You see, because
sure,
see, this is stuff that is up to us that we got to take care of ourselves. And then it's very interesting. Okay, then also too, I see that we Brother Isaiah, I see that we got our producer calling in here right now, the one and only Mad Dr. D. Mad Dr. D, is that you, sir? I think it's you, sir.
Dr. D.
Hey, how's it going there, bro? How's everybody doing?
Hey, what's going on,
bro? You doing all right, Dr. D, and yourself?
Well, how you doing, bro?
Oh, man, you know what? Hey, man, if you wake up, that means it's a good day.
Yeah, you know,
anytime you wake up above dirt, you're winning. That's right. Yeah, because you got a lot of them that didn't make it. So, you know, as you know, man, Dr. D, and what we're talking about here, black economics and self-help, and we're discussing the black economical situation and how it could alleviate homelessness, you know, within our community. It's because as what inspired the show is that I'm looking at these social media giants like Ask.com over there in Oakland, California, and then Pandora Music, which is headquartered over there in Oakland, California, and then over in San Francisco where you got Twitter headquartered, and right up the street and right across the street from these multi-trillion dollar entities, you know, you have a high degree of homelessness. And the main ones that I'm seeing out there homeless are our people, and black men in particular. And you're down there in Southern California, and I think you and I was discussing it, how bad it is down there, the same thing up here in the Bay Area, and they got all these damn trillions of dollars, you know, with this movie-making industry and this social media shit, you know, and we're the main ones up here, out here in the street. Guess there. So what's your input on that, man, Dr. D?
Well, I'm
going to
tell you like this. On a daily basis, I encounter the homeless people on a regular basis, you know, and I'm really right into the deep of it. And my take of it is first of all, the reason I think the homeless people are the way it is right now, I think it's part of economic force. They actually they have each city has a community center and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have things where they have people they set up where they so-called feed them and they have showers and whatever. So I think they need to fit homeless people because the city gets paid for that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
If we had no homeless people out here, that means the city has to find another way to tax you and get some more money out of you, you know. And then on top of this, what they do, they capitalize on us because the police. All they do is they put us in jail. They give us tickets that you can't pay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They make your
rent
so you can't get in, that you can't move in a place because you got to pay first, last, third, and this and that. And then scrutinize you, and where I'm at, they can't move into a place if you have one eviction over 5 years.
That's ridiculous.
And plus, then they give you this small ass motherfucking check called SSI or disability, which is less than $800 a month. What in the hell, and what can you do with that? They're moving where? And where? And then they have, you also see a whole host of hotels, you know? So when they get their little text, everybody go get a room for a couple of days and whatever. And that it costs you like $400 a month. I mean, a week, rather.
Right.
You know?
So
then don't forget you got to eat. And then on top of that, you know, then you have children, and then on top of this, you have everybody's habits of drugs, alcohol, you know, and what have them, you know. Not to mention, don't have a God, if you have a car, almost $4 a gallon. You know, so that's more.
Right.
And, but you have to have gas. You got to eat or whatever. And then so therefore the homeless situation is there some type of steady income that can get a rise past that. And you can't do it if you're disabled, you know, or you're a mental health, you know.
Right.
And then if you're not on drugs, they will put you on mental health and they'll put you on some type of pill that had your mind screwed
right.
up, you know. And
right.
then you, and now the police come
on,
you're on mental health, and now you're in jail. Yeah,
right.
And then
exactly.
And that turns,
you're
then,
being
then
criminalized
city,
for being homeless.
And then the city gets paid for every time you're in jail. They get paid for every day you're in jail. Yeah.
So,
anybody follow me on that? Am I crazy?
No. That there's absolutely real talk.
Right.
So what they're doing is that they're criminalizing homelessness, number one, you know, that the damn society created in the first damn place. And this is why that we emphasize here that we...
Yeah, to try and get them
all
medically.
And then also, too... Yeah, and on top of that, too, medicating everybody, keeping their mind off of what's really going, you know, to make progress. Also, too, we want to welcome our associate producer, the one and only DeMacy Love there. Right, how you doing this evening, DeMacy?
Oh, hey. I'm hanging in there. How is everyone?
I'm doing great.
Good, good.
Look at this brother out there with us. And
don't forget the fact you might have a medical problem. All right, now go for it. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, sir. It's all good, you see. And then not to mention the fact is that they criminalizing this behavior, number one. Number two is that they causing this damn behavior as well, too, to criminalize. And just like, you know, it was explained years ago, more than 50 years ago, here in the black community, you have the highest rate of crime. It is the most heavily policed area, but yet it has the most highest crime. So surely you must know that the cops must be in cahoots with the criminals, you see. So this is the why I'm emphasizing here on our educational infrastructure that there has got to be developed to where we can become progressive as opposed to just being conditioned to go get a job, produce for somebody else. Because like one of our scholars says, that either our youth are going to become entrepreneurs or that they're going to work for one. Yes, and that is pretty much, you know, what's happening here with the case. But also, too, let me give a station identification. You're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We're live on the air right now with our co-host and producer, the one and only Mad Dr. D, and also to our associate producer, DeMacy Love, and also to our featured commentator, Brother Isaiah, coming up off the East Coast. And Mad Dr. D and myself, we're here on the West Coast here in Northern California and Southern California as well. So please give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, with your comments, questions, and concerns. Please call us in at 646-564-9630. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow us on Twitter at Shabaka, EXP. Also, definitely, you can follow us on our like page at Facebook, which is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced as well, too. And also, too, you could... And definitely check out our profiles and see what groups that we're in and give us your input. It's because if we deal with the black experience from the beginning of time to 10 minutes ago. And also, too, we had a caller there out of the area code 661. We were going to bring him on, but we see, you know, he had left us. But if he's still, listening, you know, definitely please call back. You know, we'd be more than happy to have your input, you know, on the show. And also, too, folks, is that I've emphasized again and again and again and will continue to emphasize it, particularly for the generations after mine and ours, Mad Dr. D and Sister DeMacy, is that we got to do for self because, see, that's all we got, okay? It's because, see, this is all what the hell these other groups of people are doing. They come up there, open up businesses or get grants or get set up to have businesses within the black community, and they're all about enhancing themselves. But when we go out there and we emphasize this cooperative economics, then all of a sudden, you know, we're called racist and whatnot. And then not to mention in developing the commercial industries here in the United States, and you let's look at all the black inventors that you had, you know, in the 19th and 20th centuries, you know, where they had their patents stolen from them. Then also, too, with them being black folks, you know, they couldn't even get no patents. But also, too, we had done some research of a black man that came to California in the 1850s, you know, who was a ship captain, a shipbuilder, and a great entrepreneur. And he had, got a street named after him in the Embarcadero district of San Francisco, which right there sits along the Bay Shore, and where you had so many people coming into San Francisco, you know, doing the gold rush. And then also, too, this same black man had owned a lot of property up around Folsom, California, and around the Sacramento and the American River, around Sacramento County up there, around where gold was discovered. So our young people need to learn more about these folks, you know, who came up there, you know, that became entrepreneurs and what have you, like John Harold Johnson, who brought you Ebony Magazine and Johnson Publications there back in Chicago. And just like how you had other great entrepreneurs there, you know, on the East Coast.
Well, you know what?
Like Gary.
There is far and far between. What I'm really disgusted with, I'm disgusted about, is black people with the attitude that they have of, okay, let me give you an example. I'm planning on trying to, like, I said, well, maybe I can give me a piece of land and put some like maybe some trailers up in there and put some disabled people there and things like, you know, and like that. The first thing that average black will say, oh man, you ain't gonna do that. It ain't gonna happen. Everybody got that no, it ain't attitude.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you gotta change the damn fucking attitude, you know what I mean, and think positive and raise people up as opposed to bring people down. You know what I mean? You know, and they hate to see us come up because we're our own damn enemy. And more to it, always talk about, you know. But then they turn around there and beat each other up, steal from each other, you know. You want to steal?
Right.
Go to Beverly Hills. Steal the people with the money.
They don't go to Beverly Hills. I think you're a bunch of cops. You're out there stealing from
homeless people, from mental health people, and from each other. You know, how are you gonna take for someone who ain't got nothing?
Exactly.
Because they're not man or woman, adult enough to go out there and take something who got the insurance. You know. Every time I hear that these rich people, oh, their house caught on fire. Now you got insurance, and they build a bigger house. You know. You get a car accident, I say your shorts raise up, you know, you're worse off than you were from the beginning. You know?
And then
they have education, you know, they go to school only because they have to, instead of grabbing any knowledge you can get and then capitalize on it. You know, because
that's
right.
This is why we've always emphasized, you know, the concept of the homeschooling. You see what I mean? But what can we do, you know, as far as opening up some businesses, and who do we trust, and how do we, you know, implement that? It's because, see, now we got to do something.
Well, first of all,
you
trust
know, who
no
knows?
One. You trust good. No one, but be aware of them, and then you always, everything has a rule, a set of rules. White man has a set of rules, and then all you need to know is know the rules. If you got a game, it's your game. As long as I know the rules, I can beat you with your own game. That's called. Every rule that the white man has, he has a rule to get himself out of it. You know.
That's pretty much when you look at his history and the whole scheme of things. Like even his captain Dunk. you know, in his regime, and I'm glad to see him crumble. I'm glad to see these dudes falling, you see. And then from what I understand that I saw on social media today, they might even have some more of these guys taking a fall. But however, like what the dump said when he was running for office, and with him being elected, proved his point. You got a lot of stupid people in politics. Now, however, I do believe that there are those out there that would like to honestly make a change. Hopefully, you know, that they will come up and what is these here, these what they call the midterm elections in 2018. So hopefully they'll clear out the Congress, you know, of the dump regime's cronies and whatnot. But at the same token, we do emphasize doing for ourselves politically, commercially, economically, and educationally as well, too, is because that there is the only way to have some true black power. Because, see, this is all what these other groups of people are doing.
I got a question. How do we start?
Yes, ma'am.
How do we start? Where do we start from? Yes.
Okay, well,
I got an idea. I have an idea how to start.
Yeah,
you start with these black superstar celebrities. You know what I mean? They're the ones with the money. They're the ones with the with the pull. They're the ones with the influence. They take your $1 million and most of that houses and sit on top of there and act like you better than some damn body. Why don't you go there and reach back? You know what I mean? They forget where the hell they come from. You know what I mean? Because if enough of them together, I said we can conquer the damn world.
Oh, yes, sir, man, Dr. D. That's definitely right. You are absolutely correct.
Right,
because down through history, we did control our own economics there, you know, on our native continent. And this is why this damn educational system, you know, puts great emphasis to our youth to be ignorant of that knowledge. You see what I mean? It's because we had great infrastructures of trade. We had great infrastructures of science, of medicine, of astronomy. See what I mean? Mathematics.
All time.
You
right.
See?
Science.
And then they dummy us down through various methods of Kool-Aid, rather if it be the Eurocentric culture or whatever deities, you know, that they hold in value, but at the same token, they want us to ignore our deities and our spirituality on that is because, as you know, Mad Dr. D, you got the spiritual plane, the physical plane, and the mental plane, and unless all three of them are in balance, man, you know, you're not going to make any progress. You're going to be kind of mad. But then, as the associate producer had mentioned earlier today, how do we start some businesses? How do we start some innovation? Who do we trust? You see, because we're so conditioned to turn on each other. You see, that's another thing that contributes to our plight.
Well, trust
so that
yourself.
There, you know, has...
First of all, trust yourself. I trust you all, your basic instinct. You know what I mean? That's what you trust yourself. That's what you had to have trust, and you had to trust in the fact that you can... Yes.
But let me ask you this here, though, man, Dr. D. Is that there possible to emphasize that they're 2-hour youth? You see what I mean? You know, in homeschooling. Because the thing is that we got to get our youth away from these public indoctrination centers because, see, this is the only place where they're learning this counterproductive shit.
Well, you know, I have my take with homeschool for one thing, because I'm not a teacher. You know what I mean? I can't sit there and listen to a bunch of kids, and that's just not me.
I love it. I know what you mean.
You have enough to deal with your kids, getting your kids the hell out of the house one day. You know? You sit there all day long and listen to some kids all day long, you know, and try to teach them ABCs, you got me messed up because that's not reality. That's not power. You know what I mean? I can't wait to get them, you know, what's out of the house for a couple hours.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That was good.
Well, but keep in mind now, people, the little rascals, you know, they're in their formative years, you see what I mean? So
yeah,
I know
we
have a little
bit
of size on
that. We can do that for them on the weekends, whatever. We got
right,
to do. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They have to learn.
Absolutely.
And we're going to teach them the right way.
But
absolutely, yeah, there too, though, sister, you're right about that. Now, keep in mind, too, is that with this hidden agenda that they got over there in Silly Idiot Valley or Silicon Valley, you see, and I'm talking about they got trillions of dollars over there. I mean, trillions upon trillions of dollars, so much money
that
is stupid.
Yeah, because they stole it,
and,
whatever. I don't care how much they got. I know how they got it.
Yeah, don't make me
go somewhere and get some like that.
However, I am happy that what I do see across the net sometimes, you know, is a lot of our youth, you know, our gifted students going to college at 12, 13, 14 years old. Okay, we definitely got to keep that up and need more of it. But due to the degradation and the systematic oppression, you know, of black youth. Now, let's look at how much more minds are out there being wasted, you know, due to poverty. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, with this homelessness where you got children, that's all they know their whole life is being homeless, living in their own shelters and what have you.
And then you have some kids that just don't listen. I don't care what
that's
you
right.
say, what you do, that's right.
I was going to say that,
too.
You see, you have some kids don't listen.
And then you get kids who think they know every damn thing, you know. And then you have the ones, I mean, come on. I'm going to tell you something. Me personally, I put my foot down here on my kids, and when I put my foot down, I'm going to use that. You know what I mean? And I break
that's
it up
right.
all to the head. You know what I mean? Cause I'm not trying to hear none of them. None of them. You do what I tell you to do, that's it. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
That's
you know what
right.
You know what I mean? Any minute, I'm away from them. It's nothing but pleasure, that's why you have teachers and you have learners, and you know, how to bring in the money, you know, my way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
make sure
right.
I provide and to provide, and that's what I do.
Okay,
well,
see, Mad Dr. D, okay, see, now that's another thing there, too, Mad Dr. D. Glad you brought that point up, is because, see, with them criminalizing the black male to being in the household, you see, that's another thing that they got to look at, the lack of income, you know, for that black family, you see. And then when the black boys are coming up, you know, they don't have no positive vote.
Excuse me, but how in the heck can you sit there and school some kids in the daytime when you got to work?
Well, once again, this is where innovation comes.
And when you come
home
from work,
people,
you don't want to hear nothing.
But man,
you
hear,
all you want to do is sit down and worry about tomorrow. You know, and that's reality.
Of course, I understand that.
Because
once again, though, you see, okay, so, well, this is where, like I said, you know, we have to get innovative and getting creative, and that there only happens through a proper education, you know, not this prepackaged bullshit, you know, that they send our children through. And then, as Dr. Marimba Ani has said in her works, the Yorugu, about the Ma'afo, which is a term that she uses that describes a great disaster beyond description, such as all this homelessness within the black community, two doors down from multi-billion and trillion organizations. I mean, man, you go down there on 9th and Market in San Francisco, man, you see Twitter right there, that stupid-ass Tweety bird right there. You cross the damn street, man, you got everybody living in a fucking tent. Strung out, nasty, out of their mind. Yeah, see, but however, San Francisco is known for its debauchery.
The thing is, we're in a hell of a fix. I mean, because you know, because you got to work, you know what I mean, and then you got to juggle your house economics, and then you got this one woolly kid in your house that just don't give a damn. You know, and then you got the cops over there who want your kid not to give a damn, so he can try to kill him. And the kids don't understand that. Go, I'll stop ass. They don't do nothing. But you know, and then you talk about, and then you say, oh my God, my car broke down. Oh, we go with that one. Yeah, and then you turn around and say, "Oh man, we're going to eat." I mean, it's hell. It's hell. But see, the thing about this, I'm not going to bitch about it. That's just the way it is. That's the way
you're
it
right.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if everything was nice and smooth, then I mean, I take that suspicious. I mean, so the thing is now, as I say, we know we did appeal some of these high-powered celebrities.
They're not doing nothing. A billion.
You're talking about the black ones.
That's the sick part about it. You know, there's enough athletes out here and celebrities that make enough money that if they took $100,000 each.
They just don't want to go back. They just want to go back and not to give. And to receive, when they just want all the money for themselves, and that's it.
It's very, very young for us as a nation, you know, being 150 years out of slavery, but that's still very, very old for a person. So, therefore, this is why, you know, it's up to our scholars, you know, to put in that extra effort, you know, to get rid of this ignorance within the black community. And, therefore, man, you know, we won't be seeing our men folk walking around filthy and nasty, walking down the street showing the crack of his ass, you know, out of his mind, talking to himself, standing and running up and down the side of the goddamn freeway, talking about he's got a sign up there, needs help, and all this old type of shit.
But it's up to us to take care of that. What you have to realize is what that man in that position. What made him? Because he was not born that way.
It was the American Lord that put him in that position. Yeah, you're right, man. He was not born that way, nor was he meant to be that way.
Because they took a conscious the decision to go out there and self destruct. Whether it be a drug, alcohol, or just being a straight asshole. Because you're over 21, so you do know much. So you go out there and shoot yourself in the foot, and then you wonder why you're hopping. So don't blame me. Blame yourself.
And
stop taking it out on everybody else because you fall short of your own.
They're just idiots.
You know what I mean? If you're healthy,
okay, hold on, folks. We got another caller calling us in here from area code 661, the last 4-4-5-0-9-2. Where are you calling from? And tell us your name and what's going on with you.
My name is Max. My name is Max, brother. I'm calling from the Oxnard area. I'm from Kern County, Bakersfield.
Okay, right on, Max. How are you doing this evening?
Welcome to the caller.
Yeah, hey, that's Mad Dr. D right there, right?
Yeah.
How you brothers doing, man?
We're doing all right.
Doing good, bro.
Okay, let everybody. Hopefully that you'll be a constant caller, and so you have the floor.
Well, I'm just calling because I was hearing, you know, earlier y'all was talking about, you know, what the recidivism and also about, you know, the homelessness that's been, you know what, going on, you know, in our communities and whatnot.
Yes, sir.
And I agree with you. I agree that, you know what, the city coffers are getting fat. You know what? Off our people's back. You know what?
Yes,
they say, hey, you know what? We need funds for this. We need funds for that to help clean our streets. And you know what? They're not doing nothing. They're not putting in effort to help. You know what? Clean our streets and give them these people that are homeless that don't want to be on the streets, that want to be positive contributors to our community. They don't want to give them the opportunity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When we go in there and we try to utilize the services that they claim that they're are funded, you know, to help assist, mm-hmm. you know what, you to get a better life, they want to give us a bunch of red tape and a bunch of hoopla about, you know, you got to go through this or you have to have this. So, you know, you're not helping nobody. You know what? They're hampering.
Right, that's stagnation. Absolutely.
Exactly.
You're hindering them. And then not only are you hindering them, and also to be advised, people, we're in overtime right now, so please don't nobody hang up. It's because we use our allotted time, and we're going to take it all the way to the end because we're having a very, very good show. We're talking about a very, very serious problem right here that's affecting the black community greatly. Now, also, too, when we look at the value system about the recidivism, you know, of our people constantly going in and out the jailhouse system, and they're looking at it as a sense of normalcy. But at the same token, nothing could be further from the truth. This shit is not normal. It's not normal for our young people, you know what I mean, to sit up here, go to school, dealing with a bunch of negative influences, gangs, narcotics, the apathy of the teachers who don't give a damn about the quality of their education that they're showing the kids because they're just sitting up there showing up for a damn paycheck. You see? So
exactly.
This is why we've got to get those to take that extra mile with community centers, with programs for the youth to sit down there and give them, you know, some type of education from different perspectives and with innovation is because learning is nothing more than a permanent change as a result of an experience. And as far as the Eurocentric standard of grading our youth, setting them up for detention and all this time, suspending them, you know, you're already preparing them, you know, for criminalized behavior going on to the prison industrial complex system.
You're preparing to go to jail. Yeah,
right.
Cool,
exactly.
Cool, like,
and we got to kind of man that shit. And then not to mention the fact of how they got these black celebrities, these current ones in a various industry, I'm not going to say, you know, that sit there that are dummy down. And then they try to perpetuate this dumbing down or keeping themselves ignorant. You know, I call it cognitive dissonance. And the way I define cognitive dissonance, to make it short, Mad Dr. D, that you and I have said so many times, piss on my head and tell me it's rain. Shit on me and tell me it's snow. That's cognitive dissonance when you sit up there and believe that bullshit, okay? But however, you get these brain dead ass politicians up.
I would like to hear from this new caller because
Max, by all means, Max.
Yeah, go ahead, Max.
Yeah. I, you know what? I don't tell like this. You know what? I agree greatly with what y'all have been saying thus far because I want to tell you something. You know what I mean? These people, you know what? They want to turn a blind eye, you know, on their people. And that's ignorance. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what? Hey, it's not. They got the attitude that, you know what? Hey, it's not affecting me. So, you know, it's not my problem. But you know what?
Right.
You know damn well that if they weren't in the position that they're in, you know what I mean, through their, you know what, the gifts that God's given them to exceed, you know what, athletically, then they would be in the same damn boat as everybody else. You know what I mean? So how can you turn a blind eye?
Right.
You know what? You're supposed to be positive role models. You should be giving back into your community if you want to go
that
route. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You should be implementing some of that money that you're getting, okay, and you know what, putting it back into the community, you know, to give these young our youth, you know, a way out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And then, too, and to prevent our youth from being caught up in these traps in the first place. Okay, now, like, I'm hearing this stuff going on back with LeBron James investing off into this school and what have you, where they would have free school uniforms, free lunches, and then I think that the parents were offered to be able to get their GED and what have you. Great. That's beautiful, and we need more of that, particularly in the inner cities and whatnot. It's because, like, when I'm sitting up here
and what happened with that
yes, sir, go
what
ahead.
What happened with that damn lottery money? I mean, wasn't the lottery designed for the money to go back into the city? What happened with that?
California did pass the law on the lottery, and then the reason why California, from what I understand way back in 1986, is that the reason why they had the lottery come to California was to generate revenue for the schools. But you see, but every fucking day they're up there diverting that revenue from the schools. They're putting it off into the general fund, using it on other stuff.
That's a damn lie. They're more cops
here in California. What the hell are they supposed to be doing with the lottery money, which is supposed to be for the schools? And this is why a lot of these bastards up here in Sacramento belong right straight in fucking jail, just like with the rest of the Trump regime. Yeah, I said
exactly.
What do you say? And to me, in my opinion, when these lying-ass politicians get up here and lie and say they're going to do this, that, there, the other to get people's votes, their asses ought to be hit with voter fraud.
Listen, they are frauds because the politics are scripted. They gonna do this and do that. They ain't doing shit.
Look at the dump regime. You see, look at the dump regime that you got going on in Washington, D.C., and I'm so glad to see these collusionary criminals falling down. But go ahead, Max.
But this is a bunch of, you know what, this is a bunch of bullshit. Because I'm going to tell you like this, you know what, brother? If a man just settles, then accepts it, then that man is going to fall for anything that any subliminal bullshit that comes his way.
Right.
If we don't make a stand and we don't get our people out there to vote, you know what I mean? But then let's look at it though. Even then, that's a bunch of bullshit because you know what?
Donald Trump got caught up in how he got put in power,
they're going to do the same thing. So they're going to vote in whoever they want to vote in.
You got that right.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You see, but this is the more reason for us to have economical power so we can just go up there and buy some of the damn politicians for our self-interest. You see, because this is all what these other groups are doing. It's like over here in San Francisco is that they had a politician take a fall right there is because he had cut down deals up and his people coming in there building with that damn Bay Bridge. You see, that new version of that Bay Bridge is total garbage. You see, and with it, you see, is that there was faulty material, faulty workmanship. The cats, you know, wasn't even qualified to do the job. You see what I mean? So you would have this type of monstrosity, you know, in the construction of the bridge. You say, and he got busted for that. So therefore, you know, with his own scrupulousness right there. And then the sad part about it right there is how that's putting the safety of the general public at risk. Yeah, say, folks, somebody there has some background noise going on. If you could just put yourself on.
I think it's coming from you.
From me? Okay, wait a minute. Who knows it? It might be, you know, Silicon Valley might be up here trying to throw a bug off into our works right here, what they're doing, because I don't put nothing right into those diabolical bastards. And then also, too, let me say this here, too, people. If you're on Facebook, any social media, and if you have pictures of children or the babies or what have you, get those pictures up off of there. It's because, see, you got trillionaires manipulating this shit. They're coming up here with a lot of fake profiles and whatnot. So as a security issue, you know, on that, you know, so we definitely want to get that word up out of there. Yeah.
Well, personally, as far as Facebook and Instagram, all that old BS, let me tell you something.
Right.
They know enough about me as it is. I own nobody's face,
right.
No more Snap, no all that bullshit.
Right.
You get in my phone,
right.
I'll call you,
right.
And hang the fuck up. And that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah,
that's pretty much about the size of it. Yeah.
Why the hell
I
put my shit out there on the internet, you know what I mean? No, I'm being monitored as it is, you know?
Right,
so,
exactly.
This is a man that would be
and
saying,
then, of course,
hey,
too.
You know, cause how in the hell can you talk about, how can a penny talk slick to a nickel?
Yeah, exactly. And then also, too, is that what I'm seeing is that they're trying to put these other norms on here. That I saw something up here on Facebook about this 8-year-old boy going around in drag, fellas. Yeah. 8-year-old boy dressing up in woman's clothes and what have you. See, that's a hidden agenda that they have with us with this bullshit, you see.
And
it's because, see, they either want to see the black male dead, incarcerated, or effeminized. So now they're going, you know, after the children. So therefore, so with these guys over there running this shit who are billionaires and trillionaires, see, money's no object to them.
Right.
You know what?
You see what I mean?
Look at these damn conflict, them Baptists, you know.
Oh, yeah,
they
those Catholic priests, yeah.
Let me give you an update on the news, in case nobody knows. These Catholic preachers or the little Baptists, they molested over 1,000 boys over 10 years.
Yes,
that just goes to show you how strong politically, financially, they got control of the over the world. Because you know what, for them to keep paying people off and keeping them
burned,
and you know what, still, you know what, it doesn't change their congregation because they keep on going, they keep on giving. You know what I mean?
And it's important. Yeah,
but that's how bamboozled they got them. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
They got them.
Oh, you're right.
You know what? Mentally, like these Mormons and these what do you call that?
Right.
The cults. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one for you, man. Here's one for you, Max, or a cat like Jim Jones, who was over there in San Francisco, who was a dope fiend and a practicing homosexual, that is going to take over 1,000 people down here to a place called Jonestown to have them sit up there and drink Kool-Aid laced with cyanide.
Right.
And then the bastard sits right there and blows his own brains out right there. So that's suicide. So he's not even believing in the shit that he was professing. The only thing that he was doing was taking people in an area that they're unfamiliar with, manipulating them, mind control, you see what I'm saying? Social engineering and taking all their land, taking all their money, taking all their income, pimping at the max is what Jim Jones did, you see. And then the sad part about it is that they'll sit out there and they will allow these people to go up here to keep these motherfuckers brain dead, you see what I'm saying? To keep them like sheep, you see, giving up their hard-earned money and then turning around there and wiping them out there at the same time. This is particularly, you know, what they're doing in the black communities
to
witness is because you got all these churches generating all this revenue, you see what I'm saying? But they ain't because they get the damn tax breaks. But they're not doing shit to alleviate this homelessness. They're not doing shit to alleviate, you know, the public sanitation problems that's happening with homelessness is because, from what I understand, is that down in on L.A. Skid Row and over here in San Francisco in the homeless camps, you know, they've had outbreaks of hepatitis. You see what I'm saying? You know, Hep C.
As a matter of fact, right now, the homeless situation in L.A. is so bad, but this time they can't ignore it because there is four blocks square of homeless right there in West City Hall and Pershing Square, and four straight blocks of homeless, and now they're mad. Now they're mad. Because
it's
not in their face now. It's in their face.
Exactly, Mad Dr. D. And this is the same thing, Mad Dr. D, that you will see up here in Oakland, California, man, on a street called Grand down San Pablo, man, which is a straight line from Bandora headquarters and from Ask.com. And then you see these social media giants, man, where they're totally building and building more and more. Hell, they got a damn skyscraper on every corner in the city of San Francisco now. just say, due to this social media money. All this shit, you know, it's headquartered over there. You know, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Stitcher, iTunes, Pandora, Art.com, Tesla down there, and Santa Clara County, PayPal, Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, WePay.com. You see what I'm saying?
Apple,
some of the mid-level and smaller form, forms. And then not to mention, Apple and Hewlett-Packard. You see?
Before I forget, everybody, I want to let everybody know it's football season. So once football season comes, we're not going to have any shows on Sunday because everybody's going to be watching football. But right now we're going to have a Sunday show, and then we will go from Sunday to Tuesdays at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So right now we're running the Sunday show until preseason's over. And then we're going to go to Tuesday. And then, so let it be known that we're going to change our times because football, well, I want to hear no excuses.
No, that's right.
Okay. But, all right. You don't mad, Dr. D. But I am going to emphasize
that you're stating that. What team are you following? Because you know what? All of a sudden.
The one that's going to win.
The one that's going to win. Hoping that the team does something this year, then, right?
So first of all, if I know this team can whoop this team hands down, why in the hell would I bet on them? Just because you're a fan? Fan my ass, I'm a fan for money.
That's what it's all about. Now, do let me say this here, folks. Now, I'm going to say this here. Now, as you do know, the National Football League came out there with these new rules and regulations that the players got to stand up there, you know, for this national anthem.
And
as we have emphasized, too, what every black player in the NFL need to do on the first day of the regular season is not show off. For the
That's
game,
right.
It's walk off.
Not
go play the preseason. Now play the preseason, okay? But when the regular season comes, you see what
everybody
I'm saying?
No,
then walk off the damn field because see that's where you're gonna hit and then also too
walk off the
sponsors.
No, but say how about they just walk off the preseason?
In the preseason, this it gives them enough time to go recruit, you know, more talent, you know, from the colleges and universities. But in the regular season, as per their rules, from what I understand, they got to cut the roster too. What is it, Mad Dr. D? I think the player person has got to go to from 72 to 58, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, I know it's something like that they got to cut so many players off of each team, you know, during the preseason. So when they start the regular season, this is where the sponsors are really gambling their money on now. To show you the power of macroeconomics, what will happen is if those players did not show up, those stands will go empty. Then as the stands go empty, then the television companies will pull their interest out of the NFL, and then the sponsors will pull away from the television companies. So you will see the chain reaction of backlash that they would have right there. Now, with these here being athletes and with these here being multi-level corporations and what have you, they will still have major expenses that will still have to be paid. So what this means is now they're going to have to dig off into their reserves or the money that they got in their pocket is because they don't have that money coming in all of a sudden. Now they got to go shore up shit. Yes, sir.
You know what's going to happen with that?
You know,
they're going to hit those players.
Yes,
sir.
Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
They're going to hit those players with fines and threaten them that, you know what, you don't want to play, you don't want to stand up, this and that and the other, then we're going to fine your ass. And if they say, fine me then the coaches and everybody in the administration is going to say, okay, then, you know, we're going to cut you. And you know what? I'm talking about brothers that come from nothing, that their sole means is to get paid for their ability to play the game, you know what I mean, and feed their families. They're not going to stand for that, you know what I mean. So it's a lose situation for them, but it would show unity. I agree with that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know what? They're not going to have that.
Oh yeah,
because like Dr. D's over there saying, he needs help. His team needs help. Anyway, So, you know, they ain't gonna, you know, they ain't gonna walk off no football field.
Yeah.
First of all, politics has no room for sports.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
That. I agree.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, they took a fine sport
and look what they did with Kaepernick. You know what I'm saying? So you know they ain't trying to hear. You know.
Right. Yeah, they're ostracizing Kaepernick.
Yeah,
Kaepernick.
Yeah,
Kaepernick getting a job doing nothing now.
But at the same token, though, we have to look at something right here. Now, let's look at the hypocrisy of a situation right here. Now, what the hypocrisy of the situation is that you're supposed to go out here and protest and have the First Amendment, right? Then with the National Football League coming up here exercising this power play through economics, okay, that's pretty much contradicting one of its own principles, supposedly, of what they're standing up for. Now, Kaepernick was protesting all these police shootings, which he was right about, okay? 50 years earlier, you know, you had the heavyweight champ, you know, do something similar in regard as far as, you know, the quality of treatment, what black people were going through in his time. Okay, now, you had a lot of fans who said, go ahead.
Talking about Muhammad Ali when he stood up and said, "No, I'm not going to go over and mess with the Vietnamese because they didn't do nothing to me, but the white man was oppressing me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Here in my own country."
Exactly. You see, and the heavyweight champ sacrificed the prime of his career when he did this is because if anybody that follows boxing, anybody knows that the prime of a fighter's time is between the ages of 25 to 28, and those were the years in which he was exiled, you know, from the ring. But you see, he didn't have to do that. He could have fought exhibitions like Joe Louis did in World War II, but he chose not to. The man took a stand. So therefore, I respect, you know, Colin Kaepernick for taking a stand. Now, these hypocrites who covered up there and said that this racist ass country stands here for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and equality and all that bullshit, it seems to me that the NFL itself should have backed Kaepernick and says, hey, what, you know what, you various states, do something about these murdering ass police officers. It's because they commit murder behind badges. And as we all know, is that the police departments had evolved from slave patrollers and slave catchers, particularly after the 1857 Fugitive Slave Act became a federal law. It's because when California had the gold rush, they had put it in a constitution that slavery was illegal here in 1849. But however, under the Fugitive Slave Act of 1857, in the Dred Scott case, the U.S. Supreme Court had cleared the way for bounty hunters and U.S. marshals to go across state lines to capture runaway slaves. Is because, one, they were property, and plus that day or two, they had just became criminals under the Fugitive Slave Act as well, too. But it all still boils down to money. Just like you had a lot of slave traders, they brought their slaves out here to California. You always want to keep the slave ignorant. You don't ever want them knowing. All you want them to do is say, you have the balls, ass scratch, green, and hey, you know what I'm saying? You know, this comedy is here, balls, we sick. That's what I was looking for. You see? You know, same thing with this bullshit that you got off here with this rap music. Everybody up here is using the NGR term and all this shit. Now, let's use some other goddamn derogatory terms for some other racial groups and watch how fast that shit stops. So why is it that we must go up here for us to progress economically rather than being entertainment and sports for us to degrade ourselves?
Man. You're right.
Yep. See? And then the same thing.
If everybody stopped buying gas for one day, one simple day, if everybody stopped buying gas, it would shut down the whole country down.
You're right. It would.
It would cripple the nation.
Right. It would. It really would. Just like what you had back in 1973 when you had the so-called gas shortage. Yes, they went, they had the Arab oil embargo of 1973, which had started the gas shortage in the first place. You see, then they started making all these vehicles that were supposedly gas efficient and things of this nature. Now you got a lot of these hybrids that they're producing. I think that Tesla down there, where are they at? I believe near Fremont, California, or, you know, right there when you get into Santa Clara County down there in Silicon Valley, where they got a lot of these chips that they're putting off in the car, and then they got a lot of these Google gadgets that they're putting off in it as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and this is why we, you know, we got to get our young people involved, you know, in these type of sciences and what have you, to maintain our sufficiency, also too into the environmental sciences, because, you know, you got a lot of diabolical shit going on with these GMOs, you know, off in agricultural products too. And then up here currently where I'm at, I'm in the heart of the Big Valley, and this is what they call America's Salad Bowl.
America's Salad Bowl?
Yeah,
all
that.
Your major produce comes from the San Joaquin Valley. Yeah,
I don't know about that, man.
Yeah. I know that's there, man.
That
sounds
a little.
Because,
hey, that America's salable. That sounds a little free to me.
That sounds kind of weird.
Why
like
they call it American Salad Bowl is because, you know what? All these people are easily tossed like salad. You know what I mean?
Right. If I say that down there, you want
like
that salad. Oh.
Damn.
Wow. So I'll say salad on the San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah, well, see, yeah, well, see, that's just it, though, because, see, it's only 58 miles away from it. So you go due east from San Francisco, you know, you in Stockton, California. You dead center mass of the San Joaquin Valley, and it's 700 miles
crazy
long
there too,
from Bakersfield to Redding, California, and it's 250 miles wide. You see, that's a lot of distance. Ask me. I've driven a length of it twice.
Stockton is crazy for homelessness too, man. It's just off the hook over there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, without
it's
a doubt, Modesto is too.
It's not no government secret, but then again, the government tried to keep it a secret. But now, it's so many of them that they cannot ignore it anymore, and they don't know what to do now. You know, they to the point now is, you know, and you can't. That's one thing they can't keep under the rug. Not this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Also, too, let me say, folks, that you are listening to Shabaka's Black Experience, and hence giving out our station identification. We're in overtime now, and we definitely are thanking all our callers, is because they could pull the plug on us at any minute right now. So we definitely, you know, want to thank everybody and whatnot, but we're going to keep on continuing going on.
You guys have been good. Max is out of here. You know what? Keep up the positive dialogue. You know what I mean? I appreciate it. It's my first time calling in. And it was good.
Yeah, please do. Check with us again on the regular. Max, you're more than welcome.
Yes,
we definitely appreciate your input.
All right, brother. You guys
without
stay
a doubt.
Thank you. Thank
now,
you,
Max.
Both.
All right, thanks for calling in. Right,
thank you for calling in. Okay, folks, as you know, to all those who are listeners out there, is that we definitely appreciate that the input that we got going on here. You are listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. Our air date is August 22nd, 2018, and our subject tonight is black economics and self-help, and we're discussing black economics and how it could alleviate the homelessness within the black community, and also, too, we're asking a question here, and how can black economics solve the issue? Is how can so much revenue be generated in a certain region and homelessness that is at an ultra high rate in the same region? And see, like we discussed earlier about what you got across the street from Twitter headquarters over there in the old United Nations Plaza of San Francisco down there on Market Street. You know, people up there living in the street, haven't bathed in days. So quite natural. Of course, this is where, you know, disease, you know, grows and whatnot. So what there, man, Dr. D?
I'm going to have to call it for a day. And I appreciate all the callers. And you too, Shabaka.
Yes,
you guys, everybody have a good day today and a good day tomorrow. This is the man, Dr. D.
All right,
Dr.
D.
Take care.
All All right. Okay, appreciate you calling in there. That there is our producer, ladies and gentlemen, and our co-host, the one and only Mad Dr. D, calling from Ventura County, California. But as we close out this show here, ladies and gentlemen, you know, with us here being in overtime, as the crux of it is that we got to start doing something, start taking some action, is because talk is cheap. You see what I'm saying? Anybody can stand around and talk, but we got to start getting on some implementation. So we still have Brother Isaiah with us, and we definitely still have our associate producer, Ms. DeMacy, with us. You guys got any closing comments, you know, before we sign off tonight?
I want to say this. Yes. I want to say I love this platform that we're doing. I love the show. I'm glad to be the MC. Like, we got to rise and above. We got to keep our third eye open, and then we got to do more progress for ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I just want to say,
Bob
Shabaka and Queen, and Queen.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay, Brother Isaiah. Yeah, we always appreciate your input, brother. We always appreciate you calling in. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's you know, one of our featured commentators, you know, Brother Isaiah, they're calling off the East Coast. Okay, Sister DeMacy, okay, and you have any closing comments, you know, from the associate producer?
Actually, what I would like to do is get someone to help me do some research on opening a business. So can we just keep that in the back of our minds?
Oh, absolutely, of course. You know?
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going to start looking into that ASAP and then get back with you in the show so we can talk about it and share the information that we have.
Yes, ma'am. And we definitely appreciate your input and participation, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. All righty, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, okay, we're going to wrap it up here. Yeah, this is Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on our air date, August 22nd, 2018. Definitely follow our show on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely check out our like page called Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced on Facebook. And definitely you can follow us on Twitter at Shabaka, capital EXP. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm wishing you a good night from the San Joaquin Valley. Have a nice night. Night. Mm-hmm.